How's everybody doing?
Good.
Is everybody here?
Live on tape at WGN TV Studios in Chicago.
I'm buying in.
I'm all buying in. Yeah, I'm all in. All in to the program. Yeah, next question.
Who is Marcus Leshock?
Less is more with him. We're going to put him in positions where he can be successful. Not a lot of thinking.
And Steve Lippold.
For the love of God, don't start Cam Newton over matchups.
Stupid!
The Fantasy Festivus.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what, he's always like a forgotten man.
A fantasy sports podcast for the rest of
us. Shut up.
Welcome back. The Fantasy Football Festivus is here. I'm Marcus Leshock.
Steve Lippo back for another year.
We are back by unpopular demand.
Oh, nobody wants it, but we're doing it anyway.
We are doing it. It is the second straight year, maybe third straight year we've done the podcast. Second with audio only.
Yes, we decided video was a pain. We are sticking to that theory this year.
Want to thank Jeff Hoover for doing the awesome intro for us. I always forgot to thank him last year for being our announcer on our podcast intro. And Steve, you were just mentioning that both of us have new children.
We do.
So that's what happened the off season. You apparently were celebrating your big fantasy league win last year.
I celebrate
a little too hard, and a bundle of joy came.
I lifted a child and a championship trophy concurrently in the off season.
Wow. Yes. What did you do to celebrate your big win last year? What was your off season like?
Well, I trash talked the people in the league that I knew.
Yes.
As much as I possibly could. I actually even trash talked again last week because our motorcycle riding pastor,
yes,
if you may remember.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's on my softball team and somehow forgot that I won the league. So I felt it necessary to remind him of that. And that's basically all I did was I reveled in my wonderful championship.
Well, I'm looking forward to defeating you this year because we are doing the Fantasy Festivus League again.
I'm putting my title on the line. I'm doing it. I'm not satisfied with one. I need two.
So we want listeners to join us. This is what we did last year. If you're new to the podcast, we want you to join our league. We are going to have details next week on how exactly you can do that. But I propose this. We have our email address, fantasyfestivus@gmail.com. That's fantasyfestivus@gmail.com. If you want in the league, first person to email us gets in.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That's
sure.
Okay, good. And we want you to email us your questions. If you have fantasy questions about sit, start, who should you draft, all that good stuff, email us, fantasyfestivus@gmail.com. And again, next week we'll have more about the league. Today on the show, we're going to talk about our top five QBs, all kinds of news coming out of the preseason game, some big performances, some maybe not so good performances. As well as some injury news, including a top five player carted off the field today.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, a lot of people talking about that. And, of course, we'll talk about the Bears. Steve just got back from Bears camp. What do you say? You want to do some news?
Yeah, let's go.
First, let's do our top fives first.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right, so this week we decided that we're going to do, I think leading up to the draft, we're going to do a top at positions.
Yeah, top five just of the major positions who we feel are in our top five. And obviously, it's going to differ a little bit. There may be some same players, especially at the QB position, because there are some obvious ones out there. But my top five, maybe I have a feeling mine's going to be a bit different than yours, Mark.
So let's start with the quarterbacks. Okay. And let's start at number five, and we'll work our way up. Who's your number five quarterback?
My number five quarterback. Now, we're talking fantasy production.
Yes, right.
We're not talking actual talent.
Or jersey you want to wear, or yes, fat head you want to put on the wall.
We always need to remember that.
Yes.
My number five quarterback this season, despite the offseason drama.
Wow.
RG3.
Really?
Griffin III.
I was leaning RG3.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was leaning Russell Wilson, but I went with another mobile quarterback, Cam Newton.
Yeah, see, you know what I thought
because I think Cam Newton was a sexy guy a couple years ago, and he's sort of under the radar now because he didn't have that monster year that he had that first time when he broke on the scene.
Yeah.
I think he's really solid for some rushing touchdowns and some decent passing yardage, but RG3 has much higher upside, I think.
RG3 actually ran for only one less touchdown than Cam Newton did last season.
Right.
So I'm feeling the development. even after the knee injury, I think RG3 is going to come back.
That's the question, is the knee.
I know. It's a lot. I'm taking a lottery ticket out for number five.
I was just reading today, I think it was in Pro Football Talk, they were talking about RG3 and how he wants to practice really hard and he's feeling it, but the coaches are sort of holding him back a little bit in practice. And so that's one of the conundrums with this draft, is where you're going to draft RG3, because he has really high round talent, but it's just that knee. And when he takes a hit in the game,
yeah, you never know. I mean, you never know. But if I've learned anything about the NFL, anyone can go down at any time. So I've learned to not worry about now.
What's the highest you would draft RG3? What round?
I wouldn't take him in the first.
No,
I probably wouldn't take him in the second. But if there's a huge quarterback run and you're looking at maybe the end of like the top tier in the third round, I'd maybe consider it.
I think that's high.
You think it's high?
I don't think I would take a quarterback till the third round this year, personally.
Maybe you wouldn't take one at all?
No, maybe I would. Second round, not first round. But
I don't know about that.
I don't know. All right, well, anyway, go. Number four.
All right, number four, sticking with a familiar Bears opponent, Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford?
I know.
Wow.
I'm crazy.
So give me that reasoning.
Okay. I've always liked him.
Yep.
And I know he gets drilled.
Yeah, I was high on Matthew Stafford last year. And a disappointing year from him last year, I felt.
Well, here's the thing. You say disappointing year.
Yep.
He threw for almost 5,000 yards.
He did, yeah.
People don't realize that.
Yep.
The touchdown-interception ratio, not good.
That's the key, is the touchdowns.
That's the key. And I feel like...
It, depending on your league, too. I mean, some leagues value quarterback yardage more than others.
Yeah, but you want the TDs. Yeah. You want the TDs. I just feel like it's going to be a good year for him.
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm looking at the list, and I think maybe it's because I'm down on other guys a little bit more, but Megatron's right in his prime.
Yeah. By the way, Megatron had a great the other night. What did he catch, like 3 balls for 60 yards and then just like walked off the field?
Yeah, he's like, I'm good.
he's like, I'm out of here.
He's like, why am I even
playing? Every completion Stafford had in the preseason game was to Calvin Johnson.
Yeah,
and then they just like dropped the mic and walked off the field.
We're good.
That's right. Yeah. We're done here.
Just in case anyone forgot, we're good.
I've got Tom Brady at four. Do you have an issue with that?
I don't even have Tom Brady in my top five.
Wow, I was wondering if you were going to do that.
You know why? Okay. So, yep. And I knew this would come up. I figured it might last longer, but I was wondering if you were going to have him in your top
five. After my league performance last year?
after
You got to remember how strong he finished last year.
He did.
Yeah.
And you also have to remember that Wes Welker is now in Denver.
That's right. And Danny Amendola is in
Danny Amendola is a walking injury.
I know, but
to
as
happen.
Long as he's healthy, I'm thinking monster year for him and for Brady.
I think Danny Amendola is going to last three or less weeks.
We'll talk in the preseason news, but Tom Brady looked very impressive the other night, making guys who are undrafted look very good. It's preseason, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, he's also missing another guy who's in jail right now.
Who'd you have at three?
My number three is Aaron Rodgers.
All the way at three?
All the way
at three. Why does he drop down from the top spot?
Left tackle, Brian Bulaga.
That's true.
Out for the year.
Okay.
And Greg Jennings, Minnesota. I feel like... It's gotta crash down at some point. And not even crash down, but I just missing left tackle, missing one of his receivers, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. I feel like it's all smoke and mirrors at this point. And obviously he's great.
Right.
And he's still number three. He's still my number three. But I just feel like I like two guys a little bit better this year. Call me crazy.
Okay, number three, I have Drew Brees down at three. I think I could have gone higher with Brees, especially considering Sean Payton's back this year.
I have Brees at two.
Okay, so there you go.
So I'm right there with the two.
Yeah, I mean, I could have gone either way.
Although Brees' left tackle is now here with the Bears.
That's true.
And his offensive coordinator is also here with the Bears. But Sean Payton coming back. And
right.
He's going to be good. It's Drew Brees.
My number two, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, okay.
The Denver Broncos. I think he is due for a monster year. He's back the 1 year off the injury last year and now getting that confidence, getting Wes Welker, as you mentioned. I think he's due to have a Peyton Manning performance of years past.
So you have Rodgers at one.
I do have Rodgers at
one.
And
I have Peyton Manning at one.
You do, okay.
Who I trashed all of last year.
Right. So tell me the reversal on that. Similarly, I mean, just with the added talent and everything else.
I think the added talent, I think last year proved so much. Now he's got Welker on top of what he had last year. They have no intention of running the ball. I think he's going to go nuts. He threw I'm looking at his stats from last year, 4,700 yards, 37 touchdowns, 11 picks, and they got better on offense. So I have no problems with putting Peyton Manning one. I think it's going to be close. I think we both have Rodgers, Brees, Manning.
Right.
One, two, three in some order.
Yep.
barring injury, I think those are definitely your top three, and I think there's probably a drop-off there after those three. But, I think those three are your first-round picks.
To get back to the question about when you draft a quarterback, a lot of people are going into their drafts.
That's what I just said,
Are you a first-round quarterback guy? I mean, I guess if you have, like, in a 10-team league, say.
Sure.
Are you picking a quarterback in a 10-team league in the first round?
Probably not.
But no. 12 or 14 like our league.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a position where you're sitting there and you go, okay, especially late first round.
Right.
When if you can get a top three quarterback and you're going to have a swing pick early on in the second round, and you can get another top guy before everyone else picks. Because if you don't take one in the first or the second, especially in a 14-team league, 28 picks later, I mean, who knows who's going to be there? You might be down another tier. So, you know, quarterback's so important in fantasy, at least in my view. I'm still definitely not necessarily a top quarterback guy, but at least top couple tiers. Like, I wouldn't go into a season like resting on Kaepernick.
Right.
Or, although last year I won the league with, was it Romo?
I think Romo, yeah.
Which, how the hell did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know how you won the league, to be honest.
Oh, I won the league?
You got lucky in a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
You were pretty lucky. I know. Next week we'll do our top running backs, because I think that's one of the biggest.
I agree. That's going to be
interesting.
Obviously,
it's a very, very interesting top of the draft, and we'll see if somebody's foot falls off prior to next week, which could change our top five rankings. Yeah, let's go through some preseason news.
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Oh, get out the paper. We took notes.
My boy Tom Brady absolutely tearing it up in the preseason game. 7 of 8, 65 yards, TD. I don't know if you watched any of this, but he looked terrific.
I did not watch the usual
Tom Brady. As I said, throwing to guys who nobody knew who they were. All these guys, undrafted people, who the heck knows? I think Amendola had one catch for 6 yards and they took him out of the game because he could, as you said, break in half.
I want to see if Rob Gronkowski's back is okay. I want to see if Danny Amendola can stay healthy. LeGarrette Blount, I mean, that was a nice run, but no one was trying to tackle him.
Well, that's my other question, is he had, I think, about 11 carries for 100-plus yards, a touchdown. He was hurtling over people.
Yeah, he had like a 60-yarder in there.
So. Right. But I'm saying he had a pretty strong showing.
Yeah.
It's preseason, but are you at all a believer in him in that system where you have Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen?
Well, and that's exactly the point, the system, is no matter how great he looks, no matter how great he can be, when it comes down to it, Mike Vrabel might be scoring touchdowns like we saw a few years ago. So,
if you're in a 14-team league, are you drafting him?
As a backup, maybe. Like a fourth or a fifth running back.
Yeah.
But to start, no way.
No way.
No way.
Let's go to the Colts. First of all, Andrew Luck, coming into his second year. He had a pretty good rookie year.
Yeah.
A pretty decent year.
Better than most.
Looked good in his first preseason game?
Yep.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
But the one that caught my eye, T.Y. Hilton, who every year seems to have these big games, these flashes of big games. He's the third receiver on their depth chart.
Yeah.
Three catches, 65 yards, 45-yard touchdown pass, which was an excellent play if you saw it. Again, preseason, he's playing against some of the lesser guys.
Sure.
But do you believe, people are saying he could be one of the sleepers this year. Are you buying that at all for wide receiver?
Well, considering he's still their number three wide receiver and he's still playing the same position he did last year in the slot, I feel like he's going to do similar, maybe a little bit better than what he did last year. But generally speaking, it's boom or bust. I think he's either going to be, you know, catch a 45-yard touchdown in a game or nothing. So, I don't know.
How high are you on Luck?
On Andrew Luck?
Yeah, Andrew Luck.
He probably shouldn't be starting in anyone's league.
Really?
I don't think so.
Why is that?
I could probably find 12 quarterbacks I like better.
Man, I don't know. I agree with you in a lot of ways, but I just have a feeling in my gut that he could have a monster year, a total breakout year.
Let me put it this way. So I actually was reading a little shout-out to Sports Illustrated's Fantasy Preview, and I don't agree with most of their rankings because, you know, whatever.
Right.
But they do have Andrew Luck 12 right on that border. So
okay.
Take that for what it's worth.
Who do they have just ahead of him?
Just ahead of him?
Yeah.
Romo, and then they have Stafford 10, which is, I totally disagree
that's
with
low.
That. They have RG3 9, which
okay.
I disagreed with as well. Russell Wilson 8.
Yep.
Brady 7. Kaepernick 6. What the hell?
He's everyone's sexy pick this year.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I can't say that I would put Luck over any of those guys. So I guess I have to agree with you around the 12. 12th ranking.
Eli Manning's below him in these rankings, though. Wouldn't you take Eli Manning over him?
Boy.
What about Flacco, Rivers, Cutler?
Flacco, no. With Pitta out?
Would you take Cutler over Andrew Luck?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
No. You would?
New offense.
You're spending too much time in Bourbonnais.
I'm a little sorry.
Yeah, he throws a pick on the first play of every game, whether in real life or practice.
I saw two more today.
Did you receive? Yeah. As long as nobody on the defensive line puts their hands up all season long, he's going to be fine.
Well, I wouldn't take
that. That's going to be the Bears, and we'll talk about the Bears a little bit later, but that's going to be a very interesting fantasy-wise this year, because if the West Coast thing does work out, there are going to be some fantasy.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Let's hold that off on that. Yeah, we'll get there in coming weeks.
Let's hammer through this news really quick. We'll talk about some injuries, but first, the Ravens have signed Dallas Clark. Of course, Dennis Pitta is out for the year. That's a huge loss for them. Mm-hmm. Clark last year, just to remind you, 47 receptions, 435 yards, 4 touchdowns. He played in Tampa. Dallas Clark, of course, had those great years with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis.
Yep.
Anything left in the tank for him? I think he's about 34 years old. Do you think Wacko Flacco can really bring out the old Dallas Clark and have him have a Pitta-like year this year?
He could have an okay year. Don't the Ravens, now my fault, we're taping a podcast, so I should probably know this,
right,
but don't they have another tight end already that's behind Pitta in the depth chart?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
I know we don't know the answer, right, which is terrible, but you know what? Dallas Clark could be serviceable, but I don't know. I'm not super high on him.
The tight end's weak.
Tight end is weak, though.
I mean, you've got, like, the three top tight ends. Who do you have? You have Jimmy Graham.
Gronkowski.
Maybe Gronkowski.
If he's healthy.
Yeah, and who else? I mean, really.
Let's find out.
Yeah, right, exactly. So while you're doing that, I'm going to move on to the next story here. Michael Vick. The always sexy Michael Vick to pick in a fantasy league, and you end up kicking yourself about week 4 because he's maybe hurt or whatever. Looked great the other night. I watched some of this game. 4 for 5, 94 yards, including a beautiful touchdown pass to DeSean Jackson. He looked comfortable. He looked confident. They're still talking about whether or not he's going to be the starting quarterback, but I think anybody who watched that game says as long as he is still alive, he's going to be starting. And Chip Kelly in Philadelphia... Andy Reid's gone. Michael Vick, is this now the time to get high on Michael Vick or what?
That team was so dysfunctional last year. But the talent's still there.
Vick, I know.
DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy. I mean, Macklin's out for the year, which hurts him with the ACL.
Right.
But they have weapons. So if they can put it together, Chip Kelly is the offensive guy. Could be some nice sleeper potential there. Maybe get a guy, you know, a round or two below where he went last year, where he should go.
Where do you think is the best value for Michael Vick? I mean,
oh, he's no one.
Top 20 quarterbacks?
Do you think people are going to draft him as a starter?
It depends how deep your league is, but I would wait to see the rest of the preseason. If he continues to look this way, especially like that third preseason game, if he plays an entire half and he's got that together, I would draft him. I mean, you got to have a great handcuff.
You got to have a good backup.
You have to have somebody, maybe an Andrew Luck.
But you know what? The upside's there because he's put together monster seasons before. So
right.
It could be if you're looking at if you're looking at like an Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco board, and you're just like, oh man, what have I done? I missed out on all these other quarterbacks, and Vic's still there. Yeah, why not take a shot?
Did you have another tight end there?
Were
you
looking
it up? Yeah,
Jason Witten.
Oh, Jason Witten.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez.
Your boy Romo.
Tony Gonzalez. I'm retired, not retired.
That's true. Back. This is the last run. Last hurrah for him.
I'm gonna go Vernon Davis. Those are my five.
Davis playing wide receiver now though, or no?
No.
No, he's still tight end.
He's been working at wide receiver, he'll still be listed as a tight end.
He still qualifies as tight end. Okay, because I know with Crabtree's
out
there.
For the year, yeah.
Yeah, and they've bowled in there now. 49ers.
They've got
Namdi and the...
I know.
Woo.
Just come on. Come one, come all. The 49ers want you.
Oh, my arm. It's broken.
The big injury today, Mr. Jamaal Charles, no stranger to injuries, was carted off the practice field at Chiefs practice. He did get some x-rays on his foot, which were negative. Mm-hmm. However, some outlets now are speculating via sources that it could be more serious than just he's out a couple of days. They're talking Liz Frank maybe, but again, I don't know if he's going to get an MRI or not. By the time while we're podcasting right now, that hasn't been announced yet, but I think that's one of those things you want to look to see if he returns to practice tomorrow or the next day. If he's out for a prolonged period of time, Does that affect your ranking of Jamal Charles at all?
I think as long as you see him play in the preseason again at some point, I'd be...
To me, it's all about practice. If it were me, I wouldn't even play him.
That's the thing that's going to scare a lot of people off with him is if it is at all even a little bit serious or they're worried about him at all, there's a chance he might not play in the rest of the preseason. Right. And then you're literally drafting a giant question mark.
And we've seen that before. Does Adrian Peterson play in the preseason?
A little bit, but not a lot.
Not really.
No.
And why should you? I mean, I don't know. But Jamal Charles just tends to get these...
He is a bit injury prone.
Yeah, he is, and it's too bad because he had a big year.
Well, the thing about him is he's the guy, you know, I mean, there's been all those studies about guys who get 400-plus carries in a year.
Right.
And how that takes a toll, especially on running backs' bodies, and that's why there was that move towards a running back by committee. But now you're getting a renaissance back to a feature back. So, you know, is he finally worn down to where the injuries – I know he just came off the offseason, but, I mean, injuries linger. I mean, taking a huge toll on your body in a previous season, even when you come back after an offseason, it's still going to hurt. So,
and we'll talk next week about our rankings. So we'll know more, obviously, by next week about where he's at.
I want more information.
Exactly. The big other huge injury news, Steve.
I was shocked.
This is crazy. I don't know what the Steelers are going to do, but Matt Spaeth is out. I think he has a Liz Frank, too. That's the popular injury now. 8 to 10 weeks, Matt Spaeth, tight end. Former Bears tight end. I don't know what the Bears are going to do without him.
I almost didn't want a podcast today.
Yeah, does anybody care? That's the question. Steelers are really without a tight end, though. I mean, that could be a bigger issue.
I'm going to say the Spaeth family probably cares.
I will say, though, for like Roethlisberger for protection and everything else, I mean, sure. Spaeth's a pretty good blocker.
Yeah, he's a good blocker.
I mean, that could be an issue there.
To his credit, he made one of the best touchdown catches of the Bears last season.
He had a great touchdown catch.
It was like the only ball he caught all year. But.
So, yeah, I mean, that could be an issue with Roethlisberger getting knocked around a little bit, but, I mean, they're sort of depleted on the tight end front, right?
Yeah.
Who's their main tight end's out, isn't he? Pittsburgh. What's the Pittsburgh's... gosh, I can't even think. Somebody gave it to me in the newsroom.
Heath Miller.
I think he's injured, isn't he? He's always injured.
Yes.
Anyway, I could
be wrong. Right knee surgery.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, see, I was right. Chris Ivory, now the feature back on the New York Jets. He has returned from his woeful injuries, and he looks, quote, excellent in practice.
Yeah.
Any interest in Chris Ivory in the draft? I guess we'll talk our rankings next week. I don't think he's going to be in anybody's top five. But,
no, someone will draft him. Someone will draft him. Sure.
Chris Ivory always with the Saints and that three back
Pierre
mess
Thomas
that's there and Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. Although Reggie Bush is not there anymore. Reggie Bush is now
in Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. Your Lions. So
your Detroit Lions.
Any interest in Chris Ivory?
I love Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. I'm about to use that in a drop somewhere. All right, let's talk Bears. Return from the 9-year extended Olivet Nazarene University, where the Chicago Bears will be staying for the next 42 generations.
I already knew the back roads to Bourbonnais, and now I can use them for another basically decade.
That's right. So Bears coming off their first preseason game. They lost, which who cares, but that first the offense was out there a little bit longer than I thought. Jay Cutler played a little bit longer than I thought. They hit that pretty disappointing interception to start the game, but then look to calm down from there. What have you seen out of him at Bourbonnais and in the game to lead you to believe that you're a little bit higher on him than maybe in the past?
Nothing.
No, nothing. Okay.
I am pretty much exactly as high as I've always been on him.
Okay.
Here's what I've seen so far.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of short routes. I've seen a lot of defensive pressure. And I've seen... a lot of balls just thrown away into the crowd. And that's whether that's a product of trying to learn new routes, trying to still come together as an offense. I think it's still all very new. I know they had OTAs and all of that. But truth be told, all these guys, you know, Tressman and Aaron Cromer, the offensive coordinator now, both said that they're essentially trying to make things extremely difficult for the offense because the harder it is in practice – the easier it's going to be in a game.
Why is that?
Actually, because you're used to the chaos. You're used to things being difficult.
Oh, meaning like they're sending the defense more and that sort of thing? Okay, I got you.
Yes. So they're throwing new plays at him every day.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you may see an interception off a deflection, but that's because guys don't know where they're running or
don't know
what
they're
doing.
Well, there seems to be this idea with Bears fans that there's a secret playbook somewhere that Trestman isn't showing all of his cards. And come game time, there's going to be some crazy stuff that's happening, and the Bears are going to unload and all that. I've heard that a lot.
I think you may see one or two, like, secret plays per game that they work on during the week. But you can't install an entire secret playbook and not run it during training camp. That's crazy.
Matt Forte, I don't know. I have a feeling that he could have an outstanding year in this system. He should get the ball a lot more, especially in the passing game. If you PPR league, he could his value should be a lot higher than it was in the past, no?
He should. I've heard him say twice in training camp that he's happy as long as the checks keep cashing. Okay. So that's where his focus is in training camp.
On the money?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just ready for, like most of the veterans. You talk to any of the veterans out at Bears camp, and they've all been through training camp so many times.
Well, they're so annoyed with all of you asking them every day,
you guys bought in yet? Well, have you guys bought in a Trestman yet? Okay, for the record, that was day one.
No, it's been a little bit more than that.
Well, no, I mean, you have to buy into the system.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I mean, new coach, a lot of these guys were Lovey's guys. That's why you don't see a couple guys around anymore, because they were they were Lovey's champions. They were his guys. Israel Adonijé, you know, for an example. They were in desperate need of a defensive lineman a couple times.
Defense looked great.
Defense looks good. Defense looks good the first game. Well, you know, they're running the same system. They're way ahead of everybody else because they're, I mean, even in practice, offense to defense, the offense. Imagine someone, I mean, a perfect example is look at a puzzle.
Yes.
You are doing a giant puzzle for
the
first
time.
Yep. You are, you know, you're doing it for the first time. You don't know what's going on.
I have no idea.
I've done this puzzle 17 times.
Whoa.
All of last season, every game. Do you think who's going to be better at it, me or you?
You.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you're looking at. You're looking at a defense who has tons of experience behind them. Even with a few new pieces, they all basically know what's going on. They all know where they're supposed to be. And now the offense is having to work past that, which, you know, you can say it's a good thing, a bad thing. Who knows? They're not gaining a ton of confidence, but they are learning, you know, trial by fire. So, it's been an interesting camp. The defense has definitely won camp so far.
Yeah, and Mel Tucker is just as high on turnovers, it sounds like. From the brief period I was there on the first day of training camp, it just seemed like he was really all over them about stripping the ball, knocking the ball out. I'm not saying maybe every D coordinator is that way. But it was good to hear as a fan just like how intense he was in that regard.
Yeah,
because obviously that was a signature to Lovey's defense, was the one thing Lovey was really strong with. That defense was always pretty much at the top of its game.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that's the one thing about when Mel Tucker came in, they kind of said, look, we want to keep running the same system because all these guys are here. They all know it. So in a way, Mel Tucker bought into Lovey's system, the Tampa 2 or the Cover 2, whatever you want to call it, the Under 2, but... Yeah, all these guys know what they're doing. They're all still, I mean, they're a little bit older, but they're all still very good. So expect another good year from the defense.
And the Bears,
as long as they can stay healthy.
The Bears have the Chargers, I believe, this Thursday night. What are you looking for? What do you want to see from the Bears, especially the offense, this Thursday?
Well, Brandon Marshall didn't play.
Yeah, is he? That's another thing. Should I be worried?
No.
I'm worried.
Don't be worried.
Really?
Yes.
Because I haven't really seen much at all from him.
He's fine. Yeah,
he looks good.
Yes,
he's ginger.
He practiced today.
He's prancing out there and everything.
He's doing fine.
He looked good.
Yeah,
is he going to play at all this preseason?
Yeah, he'll play in the preseason. I don't know if he's going to play Thursday.
Okay,
but he'll definitely play in Game 3. Game 3 is always the walkthrough, the official. Okay, let's see what we really got.
Right.
I think he might play this Thursday. If I had to guess, I'd say he'd play. But. Who knows? If you really want to be worried about someone, be worried about Earl Bennett, who has been...
Yeah, he's been at home.
Completely MIA at home, concussed, not even at the facility.
Assuming he's out for a while, Marquise Wilson, interesting pick, a late-round pick, had a big touchdown, almost a touchdown grab in the preseason game, showed off his speed, the guy's fast, could be a Johnny Knox-like wide receiver.
He's small enough to get bent in half.
Interested in him at all? I mean, like any signs that he could ever be a viable fantasy option?
No, I wouldn't say fantasy option. No, he might not even be a viable option for the roster.
He can't really play special teams.
That is the problem. Yes, there's been a lot of talk about him, and he is really bad.
Well, he's going to get a shot with Earl out, I'm sure, here in practice and in some of these games to really show off his
stuff. He has been, but the guy who's been getting a lot more time in place of where Earl Bennett would be has been Joe Anderson.
Right.
Who can play special teams. Devin Aromashadu.
I know, he's back.
He's back.
Yeah.
And also Eric Weems, who a lot of Bears remember. He was
about
kind of
my
a,
height.
Yeah, but he's a special team specialist who can also play wide receiver.
Right.
So, you know, that's the thing about when you're looking at third, fourth string guys, you're primarily a special teams player first, and then you're also playing another position. So Marquise Wilson, while he maybe has the talent to be a wide receiver, he needs to learn how to hit someone on special teams.
And really quick before we go, the offensive line, that's also the big issue. Kyle Long, I heard, was playing some right tackle today in practice. Is that going to happen?
No, they like him at right guard.
Yeah.
Jordan Mills has been the guy at right tackle now
this trouble.
Week.
I mean, they're really in trouble over
there. He's a rookie fifth-round draft
pick. Yeah, they're in trouble over there because Jamarcus Webb just doesn't seem to ever want to get it together.
Here's what's happening right now. Jamarcus Webb, they know exactly what he is, which is bad. So they are looking for anyone else to come in and grab the position. It's basically up for grabs right now. If you play really well, you might be the starter. I mean, Jordan Mills is getting his shot this week. He looked good yesterday, but there was no Julius Peppers and no Corey Wooten yesterday. Today, they were both back, and Jordan Mills looked really bad.
Wow.
So
great.
Right now, there, I would say, is not a right tackle. Jonathan Scott, who you would think may have the upper hand to maybe come in and take the job. He's a veteran.
Right.
He's solid. He's been hurt for the last 2 weeks at camp.
Yes.
So no him. I will say this. The latest Bears depth chart still has Jamarcus Webb listed as the number one.
Wow.
So although he's not playing there in practice this week, he might still be the guy.
Before the year is out, is Kyle Long starting at right tackle?
No.
No.
I don't think they see him as a tackle this year. I think they want him at right guard for this year. Down the line, who knows? But for this year, I don't see it happening.
All right. Want everybody email us again, fantasyfestivus@gmail.com. If you have any draft questions, I'm sure a lot of people are drafting next couple weeks. You maybe have a keeper situation where you really want to figure out who you want to keep.
Yeah, bring your questions.
Yeah, and then getting into the season, we want to hear all your sit-start questions, everything else. We'll read them here on the air. And who knows, there might even be a prize with our league this year. So I'm going to try to see if we can get something together with that. But we'll have more information about that next week. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
You look
good in the Chip Kelly visor, I will say.
I am rocking the Chip Kelly.
You are.
This is the
athletic collared thing.
This is since it's a Missouri visor, right. I'll call it the Gary Pinkle.
Were you doing a lot of like hustling and you got the like sweatproof shirt there?
Yeah.
For when you're out there hustling on the sideline with your camera crew.
It was raining in Chicago all day.
Yeah.
It was sunny in 85 in Berkeley.
It was. You got the nice visor on.
Yeah.
You look good.
I got a tan line. It's great.
All right. Training camp's almost over, though.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I'll be back tomorrow.
All right. See you next week.